Let the moon be your compass. Sync your rituals, your reflections, your intentions to her phases. Because whether or not we bleed, we are cyclical beings, and the moon reminds us of that. So the moon above and the cycle within, they're always in conversation. And when we listen and we find a deeper harmony, a sense that we're not separate from nature at all, we realize we are nature. We are lunar beings, living and breathing under her light. If the moon and our bodies are always in conversation, always dancing together, then the archetypes are the personalities of that conversation. And archetypes are ancient patterns of energy woven into our collective consciousness. And just like the seasons of the cycle, these archetypes show up again and again in our lives. Hello, magical friends, yomis. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And happy Witchy Wednesday. I'm excited for this topic. Since I talked about women's cycles on Monday and how we could explore them as sacred seasons within us, along with portals and the thresholds and the rituals that keep us aligned with our bodies, I figured for Witchy Wednesday today, we're going to look up at the sky. Because just as our bodies move through cycles, so does Mama Moon. But first, I had to pull a card for us. I believe I had every intention on doing that for every Witchy Wednesday, and I forgot about it last Witchy Wednesday. And so I didn't forget. I made sure to pull it beforehand and laid it right here. I'm using the Wild Woman Oracle deck by Cheyenne Zarate, and the card that appeared as I was shuffling around and this one popped out is the Witch of the Winter Woods, a healing card. The description Cheyenne writes is, "What needs healing within me right now, and how can I use the magic of herbs, flowers, and trees to restore my sense of well-being?" The message is, safely take advantage of the healing powers and benefits of the herbs, flowers, and trees that are available to you at this time. Before the rise of Western medicine, plants were the original source of medicine and healing. Every plant that Mother Earth has generously given us possesses its own energetic essence and magical properties that not only affect our physical bodies, but also our minds, hearts, and spirits. The wise women, or witches, of many ancient cultures, such as the Celts, understood and valued the magical healing power present upon the earth, and sometimes even died for merely holding this sacred knowledge. Though collectively, we have largely forgotten this power, those who follow modern witchcraft and paganism, the old ways, know of the potent magic present within all plants. So this card is going to go inward, to embrace stillness, and to let contemplative nature of winter guide us toward a deeper connection with our inner self. And the Witch of the Winter Woods suggests that we are entering a period of necessary rest, reflection, and quiet introspection. And it reminds us that this season is not about stagnation. It's about nurturing our inner world so that new life can flourish in the spring. So her message is clear. The power of solitude, embracing silence so we can hear the wisdom within. A time for healing, doing shadow work, integrating old wounds, turning pain into wisdom, even patience and trust, remembering that, like nature in winter, we don't need to be constantly productive. Growth is happening even in the stillness. And most of all, trusting our inner knowing, letting the wise ancient part of the feminine spirit guide us rather than external validation. And I can't imagine a more aligned card to set the tone for this conversation, because today we'll be exploring the moon cycles, the archetypes within us, and the rituals that help us honor both. So let's begin with the dance between the lunar phases and our own cycles. When we look at Mama Moon, we know that we're not just seeing something beautiful in the sky. She's more than that. She is a mirror. And the moon moves through a cycle every 29 and a half days, which is almost identical to the length of the average menstrual cycle. Mine is usually 33. So for thousands of years, women have looked to the moon as a guide, not just for timing crops, or rituals, but as reflections of our own inner rhythm. So let's walk through each phase of the moon and how it connects with the phases of our cycle. We got the new moon, menstrual phase, winter. The new moon is when the sky is dark, when the moon is hidden. This is the moon's winter. It mirrors the menstrual phase, when we bleed, when our energy is lowest, when our body pulls us inward, just like the new moon invites us to set intentions and plant seeds. Our period invites us to let go and begin again. This is the time to rest and to vision, to whisper your dreams in the dark. Some women call it a womb reset. Even if you don't bleed, you can tune into the new moon as a time for reflection and renewal. And then the waxing moon, the follicular phase, spring. As the moon grows from dark to light, this is her waxing phase. Energy is building, light is returning, and we feel that too. This aligns with the follicular phase, the body's springtime, our bleeding ends. Hormones rise, creativity sparks, and possibilities feel fresh again. The waxing moon is about setting plans in motion, taking the first steps, and beginning to grow what you planted at the new moon. In your body, it's the same. You feel clearer, sharper, more motivated. And this is when ideas come easily, when you want to move, and when life feels lighter. Then the full moon, ovulatory phase, summer. The moon reaches fullness. She is bright, radiant, magnetic. She's lighting up the night sky. And this is the moon's summer, and it mirrors our ovulation. And in this phase, you know that our hormones peak, our energy is high, communication flows, and we often feel more confident and social and maybe even a little sexy. And so it's time for some visibility. Just as the full moon illuminates everything, we feel like we can shine too. And so this is a powerful time for manifestation, for celebration, and for being seen. If there's a time to schedule big conversations or presentations or dates or gatherings, this is it. This is the time. The full moon and ovulatory phase are about expression and connection and radiance. And then, of course, the waning moon, the luteal phase, autumn. The moon begins to wane, her light slowly diminishing as she prepares to cycle back into darkness. So this is the moon's autumn. It mirrors the luteal phase. We know this phase so well. Our progesterone dips, our sensitivity rises, our emotions often feel a bit sharper. We might be crying a little more or feeling a little more anxious. The narratives that are in our mind might not totally feel like us, and we have to shift those narratives often. And so just like autumn asks us to shed what's not needed, the luteal phase asks us to be honest. And this is the time for discernment and for reflection and for tying up loose ends. So the waning moon and the luteal phase are not about outward energy. They're about preparing the soil, letting go of what's draining us, and making space for renewal. Now here's the empowering part. Even if you don't menstruate right now, or maybe you have an IUD or something, or maybe you're pregnant, maybe you're in perimenopause or menopause, you can still align with these rhythms by following the moon. Let the moon be your compass. Sync your rituals, your reflections, your intentions to her phases. Because whether or not we bleed, we are cyclical beings, and the moon reminds us of that. So the moon above and the cycle within, they're always in conversation. And when we listen and we find a deeper harmony, a sense that we're not separate from nature at all, we realize we are nature. We are lunar beings, living and breathing under her light. If the moon and our bodies are always in conversation, always dancing together, then the archetypes are the personalities of that conversation. And archetypes are ancient patterns of energy woven into our collective consciousness. And just like the seasons of the cycle, these archetypes show up again and again in our lives. So when we honor them, we give language to our experience and we see ourselves more clearly. We stop thinking, why am I like this? And instead say, oh, I'm embodying the maiden or the mother or the enchantress or the crone. So let's walk through these four archetypes and the wisdom they each carry. I've been talking about Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth for a while now. And for good reason, the herbal supplement designed to help women maintain optimal hormone levels. It's trusted by women all over the world with more than 50,000 reviews and 98% recommending it to loved ones. And now you can take those results even further by pairing it with Happy Mammoth's prebiotic collagen protein, which is science-backed. I'll tell you all about it. This unique blend is designed to restore gut lining integrity, which plays a major role in supporting overall hormone balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings, and keep you feeling satisfied longer, support healthy, sustainable weight management, boost energy, and support general well-being. And because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can actually amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel more like yourself again. And as someone in her mid-30s, I've really enjoyed adding the prebiotic collagen protein to my daily routine. Again, I'm lighted by the fact that it's backed by science and it's become a simple treat I look forward to whether I'm blending it into a smoothie or just mixing it up on the go. And the best part, Happy Mammoth is fully dedicated to women's health. Again, their products are made with science-backed ingredients, so no compromise ever. So you know you're getting quality that actually works. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with code MAGIC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Use code MAGIC for 15% off today. The maiden, follicular, I'd say. The maiden is fresh energy, curiosity, possibility. She's playful. She's adventurous. She's filled with hope. This is the archetype we step into after menstruation. So when the body feels lighter, energy builds, and the world feels new again, the maiden whispers, what do you want to try? What's exciting? What's calling you forward? She's the dreamer and the experimenter. And in daily life, the maiden might show up as wanting to start a new hobby, feeling social again after solitude, or simply saying yes to something spontaneous. She's the part of us that embraces new beginnings without overthinking. So this is like the follicular phase or springtime, the maiden. The mother, ovulation phase, like summertime. The mother is expansive, generous, nurturing. She's abundant and radiant and overflowing with energy to give. And whether or not we ever become mothers physically, this archetype still lives within all of us. As ladies, in ovulation, we embody her naturally. Our hormones peak, we feel magnetic, we want to connect and share and care for others. And this is when we're most expressive and most outward. So the mother archetype says, I am full, I am whole, I am here to give. And in daily life, you might feel this archetype when you host friends or when you speak your truth boldly, when you pour love into a project or community. She's the archetype of expression, creation, and abundance. Then, of course, we got the enchantress. Luteal phase, autumn. The enchantress is mysterious, creative, deeply intuitive. She's also the truth teller. She doesn't let you get away with pretending. She's the shadow worker, the boundary setter, the wild woman who will not be tamed. This is the luteal archetype. And I personally love her. Yes, she can feel intense, and this is when emotions rise and anxiety surface and irritations flare. But all of that intensity happens to be her gift. She's showing us what's real, what's raw, what's out of alignment. And the enchantress whispers, stop pretending, stop ignoring, face what's here. She can channel that intensity into art, into shadow work, into powerful creativity. And this is the archetype of discernment, of honesty, of fire. And then we meet the crone, menstrual, winter time. She is the wise one, the elder, the keeper of truth. The crone archetype lives in menstruation in winter when energy is lowest, but intuition is highest. The crone invites us to rest and to vision, to listen deeply. She doesn't care about productivity or appearance. She only cares about truth. She asks, what are you ready to release? What wisdom is waiting in the quiet? And in daily life, the crone archetype might show up as craving solitude, seeking silence, wanting to withdraw from the noise of the world. And in that space, she offers clarity. She's the archetype that helps us end what needs to end so something new can begin. Archetypes as mirrors. When we weave these archetypes together, the maiden, mother, enchantress, crone, we get a full picture of ourselves. We stop judging the shifts and instead see them as sacred. Every month, we get to embody play, abundance, truth, and wisdom, and that is magic. That is power. And when we consciously honor these archetypes, we step into rhythm with something ancient, something every woman before us has carried. So maybe ask yourself, what archetype do I feel closest to right now? Am I the maiden, ready to explore? The mother, radiating outward? The enchantress, discerning what no longer fits? Or the crone, resting in wisdom? And remember, none is better than the other. They are all needed. Together they form the cycle of wholeness within us. So we've explored how the moon mirrors our cycles, and we've met the archetypes that live within each season. Now let's bring it into practice with witchy rituals, little ways to align with both the moon above and the magic within. So the new moon and the menstrual phase are both times of darkness, of turning inward. This is when the veil feels thinnest and when intuition is sharp and the inner voice is loud. A ritual here could be as simple as lighting a single candle in the dark and journaling on one question. What am I ready to release? You could also create a release ritual. Write down worries or attachments on paper and safely burn or bury them. You could also create a release ritual. Write down worries or attachments on paper and safely burn them or bury them. Or create a womb altar, a small space with red cloth, a candle, maybe a crystal or flower, something that reminds you of renewal and rebirth. This is the time for visioning, for asking quietly, what is waiting to be born through me? Let's say you're in your follicular phase, the waxing moon phase, maiden rituals. As the moon grows, so does energy in the body. This is a playful, hopeful, fresh phase. Perfect for intention setting. You could create a simple jar ritual. Write down fresh goals or intentions on slips of paper, place them in a jar, and add it to each month. Watch them grow with the full moon. Movement can also be a ritual here. Put on music and dance. Not for performance, but truly just for play, for fun. Let your body move in ways that feel new. This is the season of experimentation and of saying yes and of trying without pressure. Then of course we have the full moon, ovulatory phase, mother rituals. If you're ovulating, the full moon is all about illumination, expression, radiance. This is a time of celebration and manifestation. One of my favorite rituals is charging water under the full moon. Place a glass of water outside or on a windowsill, let it soak in the moonlight overnight, and drink it the next morning as a way of taking the moon's radiance into your body. Perhaps when you placed the water outside at night, you hovered your hand over it and set your intentions or let it know what you wanted to call in a manifest. And then the next morning, it's like you're drinking what you were calling in. And you could also create a circle ritual, gather friends, pull tarot cards, share intentions, or simply sit together under the moonlight. Full moons are about connection and about being seen and about celebrating life. Or simply let your ritual be joy. Go out, dance, sing, speak your truth. Let yourself be witnessed. That too is magic. Then we got the waning moon, the luteal phase, the enchantress rituals. As the moon wanes, light diminishes and the body shifts inward. The waning moon is perfect for reflection, boundaries, and preparation. A powerful ritual here is decluttering. Clear one drawer, one closet, one inbox. Release what you no longer need so you can enter winter lighter. Another is a cord cutting ritual. Visualize or write down attachments that feel draining, okay, like they are attached to you with these cords, and then imagine cutting these cords of energy and reclaiming your power. This is also the season of creative fire. The enchantress loves shadow work. Loves turning intensity into art. Write, paint, sing, or channel the emotions that rise and let the ritual be creation itself. So these are everyday witchy rituals. And here's a secret. Rituals don't have to be elaborate. They can be woven into your everyday life. Brewing tea with intention, lighting a candle before journaling, pulling a single tarot card in the morning and carrying its message with you, taking a bath with herbs or salts and letting the water cleanse more than just the body. It's not about doing something perfectly. It's about bringing presence into what you already do. So it's simple. So whether you're syncing with the new moon or charging water under the full moon or simply taking 5 breaths before bed, let ritual be a reminder that your life is sacred, that your body is sacred, that you are in rhythm with something far greater than yourself. Because when we honor these rituals, we don't just align with the moon or our cycles, we align with magic itself. And that feels like a beautiful place to close today's Witchy Wednesday. We began by looking at how the moon's phases mirror our own, and the new moon as menstruation and renewal, the waxing moon as follicular springtime, the full moon as ovulatory radiance, and the waning moon as luteal autumn. So we remembered that whether we're in a different season of life, these rhythms are still alive within us, always cycling, always moving. And then we explore the archetypes, the maiden, the mother, the enchantress, and the crone. And those timeless energies that live in each of us give us language for our playfulness, our abundance, our truth-telling, and our wisdom. And finally, we grounded it all with rituals, from lighting a single candle to mark release at the new moon, to charging water under the full moon, to decluttering in the waning moon, and to simply brewing tea with intention. Ritual doesn't need to be complicated. It's presence. That's what makes it sacred. It's simply being present and intentional. So, my invitation for you this week is simple. Let's look up at the moon. Notice where she is in her cycle, and then ask yourself, how does this feel in my body right now? Let the moon be a reminder that you, too, are cyclical, that you are allowed to change, that every phase has its own kind of magic. That one week you might feel extremely high and energetic and excited, and then the next week you might feel low or just want to go inward and be a bit of a hermit, be introspective, and that's okay. We're cyclical creatures. Anyway, that was a fun Witchy Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining me. And don't forget, we will gather again on Freaky Friday, where we'll step into perhaps something shadowy or the mysterious side of things. We'll see. But anyway, if you like this episode, feel free to share it with a friend. And until then, take care of your body, honor your rhythms, and remember, you are lunar, you are cyclical, and you are magic. So thank you for listening, and thank you for your magic.